Welcome to episode 73 of the Mommy Beta Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. I have Alex on the line. She's got 1.5 child. I'm Natalie Morris. I have two. Alex was just reminding me that she's 16 weeks pregnant now.
Yeah, you know, I don't even think we've announced it on the podcast.
No, I was wondering about that, actually. I know you wrote a blog post about
it. Yeah.
But we hadn't talked about it. And if you listen to episode 71, Alex talks about her hypothetical second child because we were still pretending that you weren't pregnant. But now it's out in the open.
Yes, it feels good to be able to talk about it.
So on behalf
in non-hypothetical terms.
Right. There's a real baby in there. A real one that's causing you a lot of trauma. This second pregnancy is not so easy, is it?
Oh my gosh, to say the least. The first trimester was really hard, and especially because with Reese, my first pregnancy was so easy. I had no idea what morning sickness was. I was on cloud nine the whole time, and this time around, I was in bed often and couldn't get out of bed. And Reese and I watched a lot of Sesame Street together. Poor thing. But yeah, I'm in my second trimester and feeling really good.
Well, we're glad to hear it on behalf of the Mommy Beta audience and the other Mommy Betas. Congratulations. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, you know, you're really bringing up the rear with the second baby, but you were the first to write a post about being ready. So,
And I'll be writing another post. It actually took us much longer than we anticipated.
Oh, really?
I think things work out the way they should. Mm-hmm. I mean, they happen when they're supposed to. But yeah, it took us a really long time.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing about the whole trying process, because I know there are a lot of people who don't have it quite so easy, don't just, you know, get pregnant right out of the gate. So
yeah, well, with Reese, it was, you know, really quick first time, and this time took months and months and months. So yeah, I'll write about it and share my experience.
Drudgery, trying to have a baby. Yeah, I do. I want to hear all about it. Spare us no details, because we're going to talk about having sex today anyway. So we might as well. Let's go ahead and talk about that first. Actually, one of the things we wanted to talk about was this post that I found on Babbel called Six Signs You're Not Ready to Have Sex Post Baby. What is it with their six things lately? Like six reasons you're not ready to have a baby. Six reasons you're not ready to have sex past the baby. Six reasons you may not want to nurse your baby or whatever. Like they're into the six rules lately.
More than five, like, and way less than 10.
Yeah,
goes by a quick read.
They think you're going to click on them, and they're a fan of this slideshow, which I'm not. I don't.
I
like
do click
slideshow
on them.
I do too, because I'm like, yeah, I want to know what those six signs are. I feel like I think we can talk about our own experiences with this, and some of the signs are like, you're not ready to let him see you naked. I'm like, really? 6 weeks after having a baby, you're thrilled about the idea of getting naked? Like, you may wait a year if that's a sign that you're not ready to have sex.
Right.
10 years. Who knows? You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah. God, I feel so long ago. It was over 2 years ago that this happened. But I'm trying to remember if I waited the 6 weeks or maybe even a little bit longer, because I was a little bit I was more nervous than anything. And I just didn't feel great. I didn't feel great about my body, and emotionally and mentally, I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready. So we may have waited. I don't know. And if we did it, I think we more did it because I thought I was supposed to, or we thought we were supposed to. It's like, oh, 6 weeks. This is what you do.
Yeah.
It's I don't really remember.
I think I've talked about this on a podcast before. I had a hard time just emotionally getting into the idea because I felt like my body was for a different purpose. So it was hard for me to see myself as a sexual being again.
Well, especially when you have, you know, a newborn latched to you, you know, multiple hours of the day on your breast.
Right. Yeah. Another sign they talk about here, you keep telling your spouse how uncomfortable your hemorrhoids are or how your bleeding hasn't stopped. I felt like I definitely used that as a, like, hey, this is a no-fly zone, FYI. Just a little reminder.
Right.
Or you're telling your spouse that you're, you know, you're so hot, but you keep going to bed in layers. And I guess that just means your hormones are going nuts, so you may not be quite so successful. You never shower because you just don't feel like you're, again, a sexual being. So these are kind of funny. You can share with us what you think of these. We'll post a link to this in the show notes, or maybe tell us what your signs are. But again, it's just, I mean, 6 weeks. I think I loved Jennifer's post on this and on mommybeta.com, the 6 week mark. I felt like those two were just like ready to hop in the sack again. And I was like, oh, I'm scared.
Yep, I was scared too. And I just didn't feel. I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to take care of the baby. I wasn't ready to be in bed.
Yeah.
Well, unless I was sleeping.
Right.
I wanted to be asleep. I was so tired.
Yeah. Get ready for that again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's tough. It's so tough. It's tough on us to, you know. Yeah. And I think you're right. I felt like a bad wife. Like, I should really want to do this. But, man, I kind of don't right now.
Yeah.
And it was easier the second time around because I knew I had survived. The first time around,
yes.
I felt like, I think I've used this analogy before, it feels like someone takes a sledgehammer to your nether parts. And so not really,
you freaked me out when you said that,
interested in, yeah, in having some, you know, some fun times down there.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel pretty. And I feel like some women are afraid to say that they're nervous or scared or doesn't, you know, they're not ready.
Yeah. So I was texting you guys the second time around when it was like my 6 week time, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this. And I was more excited about it the second time because I knew that I had survived once before. But after my first birth, and I'm, like I said, the only one of us that's had a vaginal birth. After the first one, I was like, nothing's ever going to happen again down there ever again, because it just felt so like swollen and sore.
Oh,
so anyhow, but you you can write about this later. You're planning to go scheduled C-section second time, right?
Scheduled C-section, yeah. After I really wanted to try a VBAC, more for the experience, and because I had such a hard time with the C-section last time with infections, and it was, I mean, on and on and on. But because of the complications that led to an emergency C-section, the doctor really advised against it, unless, of course, you know, we find out the baby's going to be really small, like under 6 pounds, then I can try. Otherwise, she said it's not worth it. And with a scheduled C-section, you know, she assured me that, you know, they're a lot more careful. It's just different because they take their time. We're in an emergency. All they care about is getting the baby out.
Yeah.
So here's hoping.
And, you know, I think we've, again, spoken about this before as well, but when you have a toddler, it really helps to know when you're going to have to leave that toddler to go to the hospital to have another baby. That was really stressful for me because I had to have backup plan after backup plan after backup plan for what was going to happen to Miles when I went into labor.
And it was stressful. Did you leave a guide?
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like a 10-page guide?
It was like a 10-page guide. Like, this is what he eats for breakfast. This is, you know, the way he likes to go to bed. This is what his bath time routine is. Yeah.
I think you're right. And that gives me a little bit peace of mind because I've already started. We have a tentative C-section date. And so I'm already planning for, because I'm going to need help for the first 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because I won't be able to lift Reese up. So, you know, we have in-laws come in for the first 2 weeks, then my mom here for 2 weeks. So I'm glad I can at least plan that out and know Reese is going to be in really good hands.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It still makes me sad.
I had, you know, one neighbor and then the backup neighbor, and then we also had childcare, and then we also had my mother-in-law who was kept her suitcase packed at all times. And, you know, wow. We ended up just calling her one day and saying, this is the call you've been waiting for. And she dropped everything and, you know, got on the road. So
how far away?
Two hours. Yeah. So
did you take Miles with you until she got there, or you waited?
No, thankfully he was still in daycare.
Okay.
So we usually pick him up around 3 or 3:30 from daycare, but mm-hmm. since I started to go into labor around 3:30, he can stay until 7. They have, you know, they have plans for parents who get home from work late or whatever. So he was there until about 5:30 because she got there, maybe closer to 6. And I was in the hospital kind of walking around to get my water to break and texting her,
got like,
did you get him yet? Did you get him yet? Did you get him yet?
Like, I couldn't. So you knew he was in good hands.
I couldn't relax until I knew that she had picked him up. And then I was like, okay, I can have this baby.
Yes. Well, you're very fortunate to have such great childcare.
Yes, and that's something that I wrote about this week. So I finished the book that you guys had been talking about, the
Positive Discipline.
Did you finish it?
I still haven't finished it. Okay. I love that we started it way before you, and you've already finished it and written about it.
I'm speedy. Yeah, but like I said, I had long flights. I really liked this, and I especially liked that the last chapter is about childcare. And it kind of struck a chord with me because it talks about how other cultures don't expect the mom to do 100% of the child rearing. They wouldn't have the mom stay behind to raise the child. They have, you know, extended family. They have other, you know, the elderly help pitch in. They have what's it called when you have something parenting, when the brothers and sisters pitch in? There's a word for it. I can't remember what it's called.
Well, I love how you wrote it. This is from your blog. In fact, those cultures might view our belief that mothers and fathers should raise children without outside advice or help as a form of insanity.
Right. And so I think, well, that's really comforting to me, because there are times when I'm like, gosh, I feel like there's so much on me, or, you know, or if I take my child to daycare, then I feel like I'm feeling bad about it. But the research really shows that children who do use preschool and daycare and any other just kind of other adults or other resources, the community helping to raise the child, have better test scores, lower crime rates, higher salary, all of these society-wide goals, things that we want for our children.
Why do you think that is? And why do they think that is?
Well, you know, there's a lot of research about how children who participate in these kind of programs have less anxiety. They learn life skills a lot earlier. They learn about sharing and resources, and they learn how to learn a lot earlier. So I thought that was really so interesting. It made me feel better about the fact that we do use daycare. And, you know, we only use daycare 3 days a week, and it's mostly because my husband wanted to socialize Miles. I'm home a lot of the time, so I don't need it. But when we moved to the suburbs, he was like, this is really important to me. I really want him to have this. And I fought him on it. And I'm glad that he won that battle.
I think it's great for the children and the parents.
Yeah. And especially because right after he started, I was pregnant. And so it gave me a lot of time to rest, which was so great.
Yes. And when I also, you know, we just started preschool, and it's a preschool prep. It's the same program. They just do less. It's less hours. And then next year she'll start preschool. But what I like about this is that she's starting something that's hers. And she really enjoys it now. And, you know, the first couple of weeks were hard, and she talks about it all the time. So when the baby comes, it's not like I'm going to be sending her off for the first time.
Right.
And I didn't want her to think like, oh, mommy's trying to get rid of me because a new baby's here. This is, you know, this is her. She's going to be excited to go. Like, she gets to go to preschool, and the baby has to stay home.
Right. Yeah. I actually didn't go to preschool. I went to daycare, so maybe I kind of skew this statistic in the other way, but I do really think that this is it's an interesting study, and I have a link here, and we'll put a link in the show notes. But I found this last study really interesting. It said that if there's an overemphasis in academics at early learning centers, it actually can have a negative effect. So, you know, when we get pregnant, we're like, oh, my child needs to know the alphabet by the time they're one. That's crazy town. And so if we push them to know more letters and numbers and reading, by the time they enter preschool or kindergarten, they may know more than the other kids. But the research shows that a year later, the kids who didn't have that academic focus have caught up, but they have a far more positive attitude about school, whereas the kids who were pushed too early don't like school.
Interesting. And I also think that plays into people's social IQ. You talk about, intelligence, but what about people's ability to socialize and empathize with others is huge. You know, there are some people who are so, so smart, but they don't know they've just never really learned to socialize. But the people who can socialize and get around are a lot of those people are working their way up.
Right. So the point here is that we shouldn't push them to what our academic agenda is, because they're going to get around to it. And they're, you know, if we choose good programs for them, they're going to get around to it. And the book that I read called Playful Parenting was a good resource on that. And they said, the funny thing is, once we started to learn that play was educational, we kind of spoiled it for them as adults. So we need to just let them play with them and observe them learning, and then try and, you know, guide them along in a useful way, but not like, oh, this, you know, iPad app teaches letters, so let's stick with it and, you know, not do anything else except that. Like, I have this, there's a lesson for me in here. I saw on Pinterest that someone had taken old like cereal boxes and cracker boxes and cut out all the letters and then carried around in her bag for when they were at restaurants, and then her kid could like play with the letters and spell out words, and, you know, it's just kind of a fun little toy of all these cardboard letters. And I was like, that's a great idea. So I did that. For like weeks, I was cutting, every time I was going to throw something in the recycle bin, I would cut out all the letters and started to carry it around. Miles hates them. He does not like them at all. So we'll get to a restaurant. I'm like, hey, I got a great game. I got these letters. And he's like, no, put them away. He really doesn't even want them on the table. I'm like, well, maybe daddy can spell a word. He's like, no.
So, oh, my gosh.
You know, I was like, okay, maybe I'm pushing him, or, you know, this is just not the way he wants to play. So I yeah. had to learn that lesson the hard way.
That's pretty funny. It's amazing at this age how they can say what they want and don't want.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. Like, he can definitely tell me what he doesn't want.
Last night I gave Reese some beef stew and I added some pasta because she loves pasta. And it was really good. I liked it. I gave it to her. She took three bites and I loved and I praised her for trying everything. She tried a carrot. She tried the pasta. She tried everything. She just didn't like the sauce. So she'd take a bite and she'd make a really sour face. And she did this three times. And then she finally looked at me and said, Mama, I don't like this. I was like, oh, okay. Well, would you like something else? Yes. Reese hungry. Oh, I felt so bad. So I gave her something else. You know, she tried it three times and just wasn't for her.
Yeah. That's funny. You should have heard Miles try and talk me out of the dentist last week. He's very convincing about that. He's like, we don't need to go to the dentist. Well, actually, it was just like it was our appointment, but since he'll have one in the next, like by the time he's 2.5 or 3,
yeah.
They wanted us to bring him so that he could see us do it and kind of meet the dentist. So he didn't actually sit in the chair.
Okay.
But we had told him that he was going to, and he was like, no, we don't have to do that, Mommy. We have other things to do. He was just,
oh my goodness. He was
completely reasoning with me. We don't have to go to the dentist.
Oh, you will have to.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this most recent post that you wrote about putting baby in the closet, because you guys are not going to move, I guess. You had considered
not
moving.
Yeah.
And you decided to stay in your apartment. So now that means you have to come up with some creative ways to put baby number two in your house.
Yeah. We, you know, there's always people do it. We could share the room with the baby, but that's just not for us. We like our alone time. We like our space. So, and Reese's room is right now half office and half her room. So there's not a lot of space in there. So we're going to do some major rearranging. We've already moved the office into our room. So it's a desk and a computer and a printer. And it's working really well. The next step is to make Reese's closet, which isn't actually in her room, it's right outside her room, into a nursery, a baby nursery. We're going to get a little mini crib and move all of Reese's clothes into her room. And then once the baby's sleeping through the night, you know, we could even keep the baby there for 6 months to a year. They don't need that much space. We'll move the baby into Reese's room.
Yeah. Now, I wrote a post way before I had Miles. This was in actually just a few weeks before I had him, called Urban Nursery or Lack Thereof. And I didn't get a crib for Miles because we had a one-bedroom apartment. So we kept the bedroom for us and then we turned the living room into part nursery. And he had a pack and play and a changing table. And the changing table had drawers where I kept his clothes. And I had a rocker or a glider, rather. And that was it. That's all we had. And
that's great.
At the time, it felt a little cramped because people would give you, you know, blankets and receiving blankets and, you know, you trying to put things, toys and books. But we made it work. And I look back now and I'm like, that was a really happy time. We didn't need, the baby didn't need their whole room. And Ava slept in our room for like 3 months. So she certainly didn't need her own room for a long time.
Right.
In a bassinet next to us. And actually for the first 2 weeks, she would only sleep on me. That was really tough.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, they don't need a lot of space. You can really get sucked into the baby industry and think, I need all of this stuff.
Well, honestly, our thing was, so we're eventually going to move to the burbs. So we thought, okay, well, we could just move now. But when we looked, when I say the burbs, I mean like right outside of San Francisco, the burbs. But we're also eventually going to move to Denver someday. Who knows, a year, 2 years. And I didn't want to move and then move again. But the big deciding factor was just I like city living. I love it. And I am willing to sacrifice all the space in the world right now. At this point in my life, you know, for having Josh home at a reasonable time. You know, he has a 15-20 minute commute every day.
Right.
And if we moved, it would be like 45 minutes there and back.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to do that. And I can walk everywhere. I love just, you know, grabbing Reese and just going instead of having to pack her in the car every time I need to go somewhere.
I really don't like that. That's the worst part about suburban living is now I've got two to sit in their car seats.
Right.
And every time we get in the car is a huge production.
Yes. And I'm sure you're going to get used to it. And I'll get used to it. But because I have the option right now, I'm going to opt to stay put.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll do something beautiful. And if you want to follow Alex's closet urban nursery, follow her on Pinterest. We have mommy beta boards on Pinterest as well. And the little, you know, closet nurseries that you've been pinning are super cute. And, you know, it's just a baby. They don't need a lot of stuff.
There are some really great ideas. I mean, they really don't. They need a crib. We already have all of the stuff. We have a changing table. We have, you know, all. So, and the closet's pretty big. So it'll fit like a crib and maybe even, I could probably put the changing table in there. I don't know. But I think it's going to work. And I feel really comfortable with the decision. So now it's just finding storage for all the stuff we don't need and decorating.
Yeah.
We have a few months. It's going to go by fast, though.
Oh, yeah. It goes really fast. And you'll learn gender of your baby in a few weeks, so you'll be able to really start to decorate then.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go crazy like I did with Reese.
You know, oh, you say that now. You just wait. You'll go a little crazy.
So. Well, I will say, if it's a girl, I may not, because I can just reuse a lot.
Yeah.
But if it's a boy, I might.
Yeah. Well, and I want you to do a post later on about having a baby shower, too, because you were on my side on that one, too.
Oh, totally. I'm absolutely having a baby shower. Or I like your term, baby sprinkle. That's the new thing.
Semantics, right? It's just a party for baby.
Yep. So,
yeah. Well, we like to wrap up our show with a little victory, and I have one, actually, from this morning. I was thinking before the show, I was like, oh, I don't really have a little victory. But then I took a shower and got dressed, and guess what I put on? Just guess.
Your skinny jeans.
My skinny jeans. Yes. They zipped. I got some mad muffin top going on, but I'm wearing the skinny jeans.
That's pretty amazing. Oh,
I'm
my God.
I'm not saying I'm going to be posing for Playboy anytime soon, but they fit. They fit.
I have to say, I'm a little jealous. I'm so happy for you, but I envy you because I should write a post on this. I never lost the baby weight with Reese for lots of reasons. So I'm looking forward to getting baby number two out of me and back in my skinny jeans.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if it's better to like lose all the weight and then have to lose it again, or if it's better to just like keep it and then do one big weight loss. I don't know. But
there you go. Who knows? Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, I got some mad muffin top, but they zipped up. So I was helped along by the fact that I had a terrible bout of the stomach flu last week. So don't envy me there. That was awful. So anyway, well, thank you so much.
Clayton take you on a hot date.
Yeah, I'll be taking them to daycare later. Anyhow, well, thanks so much for listening to the Mommy Beta podcast. You can always reach us, ring in on anything that we've talked about on mommybeta.com. You can reach us on Twitter. It's at Mommy Beta or Mommy Beta on Facebook. Or you can email us, mb@mommybeta.com. Thanks so much for listening, Alex. It was great to talk to you. And congrats again on baby number two. We can't wait to meet him or her.
Thank you.
Bye,
talk
everyone.
Later.